Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Cindy Paul began working at the University Club of Grand Rapids in 1988, the first woman general manager of a large private club in West Michigan. Beyond, her leadership has kept the club alive during a pandemic. Plus, she has a wonderful backstory, including a fun fact of, well, she was named after Cinderella. So, Cindy Paul, welcome to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk.
I'm happy to be here.
Can we start calling you Cinderella at this point in your life?
No, probably not. Well, maybe. Although I do have a necklace from my granddaughter, Claire, that's a glass slipper that I wear for good luck.
Ooh, stand by me on that backstory part.
And the name of our boat is Cindy Ellen, so it looks like Cinderella.
All right. There will be more to come with that fast fact. But we are here with you, Cindy Paul, you the fourth of 10 kids. And of course, that's not quite the middle. So what's your personality based on 4 out of 10?
Well, the first 6 children in the family were all born within, I believe it was 8 years. So I was somewhat of a middle child for a while. Then there was a 5-year gap. And along came my brother, Scott, the only other sibling that was light-haired and blue-eyed, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not adopted. So then she had four after that. So yeah, it was, I liked being in a big family. I always wanted a big family, 6, as a matter of fact. Back then, you're talking, you know, I was born in the early 50s. That's all you knew, was you were going to get married out of high school and have children. And I love those younger siblings, and mostly I loved helping my mom out because she was just, you can only imagine, one baby after another and the laundry and everything. We had my maternal grandmother was very helpful. She had 6 children herself and really stretched herself with her grandkids, but was there for us. That's why we were able to go to a nice Catholic school, because she paid our tuition and paid for our uniforms and winter coats and all of that stuff. She was a saint. She was a wonderful grandma. But yeah, it was great having a big family. We didn't have much at all, of course, but that was the way it was back then. A lot of big families. We lived across the street from Lincoln Park, though, which was a godsend. I wish the parks went back to that time when there was arts and crafts, all kinds of sports. We played ball. We learned how to play tennis. There was, of course, the pool there. And I could take the little kids over to the park and for all day and get them out of my mother's hair, you know. And I was on the softball league there. That's how I became very athletic. And I still am to this day. At my age, I shouldn't be doing some of the things I'm doing.
I'll stop you right there and say, okay. Yes, you should. Let me stay with your early years before, obviously, we get into the years that are upon you now. When were you first introduced to the service industry? Was there a Mr. Burger here and there?
Yes, there was. My girlfriend worked there, and I wasn't quite 15, and she says, that's okay. Back then, you know, you didn't have to show a Social Security card or anything. And I was a hard worker. I loved it. It was right by Union High School, so I could, when I got out of school, could walk over there and work. And Pete Christopoulos was a mentor. He was very kind. A lot of people said, oh, he's mean. And it's like, no, he's not. If you work hard, you know. But I liked it. It was different. I wasn't into hamburgers, but learned to like them. He had the best onion rings.
Wow, probably still does. Yeah. Obviously, there's been a journey to land yourself in a private club business in management. But before, again, we bring you to today's world, what other young experiences shaped you perhaps to where you are? And I'm going to lead the question. There was a significant incident in the South that mm-hmm. you went through as a child.
Yeah, South Carolina. I moved downtown right after I graduated high school with a girlfriend from high school. And I took some classes when I can because it was, you know, nearby, but I also worked a full-time job and sometimes still continued to go to Mr. Burger and work for him when we needed. But I had the summer off. I wouldn't call a long-term boyfriend, but a boyfriend that I'd been with for a couple of years. We broke up, and she invited me down to South Carolina to, because she's by herself a lot, and because her husband was in the Marines, and she says, come on down and you can, I'll get you a job and you can stay here and save your money to go back home and start taking classes again. But the evening I got there, I was awakened by somebody banging on the side of the outdoor walls, saying, is anybody in there? And I immediately gasped for air. The place was on fire.
This was actually at a place you were staying?
Yes, okay. At my girlfriend's place. And her husband was apparently smoking on the with the ashtray on the side of the couch. And he must have knocked it over and it smoldered. And so I hadn't even unpacked my bags. And I brought all these beautiful clothes down from working at Ganto's because I was thought I was the belle of the ball, right?
Cinderella.
Nice shoes, Cinderella. And it was a horrible fire. It burnt down to nothing. I came back the next day to everything was just burned to
of
nothing.
Your own personal items.
Everything I had. Ironically, I've always had a bleeding heart for minorities. To this day, I'm just very diverse. I don't put people in boxes. And a black woman was the one that saved my life. And I always think about, is this my payback for sticking up for the black students at Union High School during the riots? Because I did, and I lost friends from it. But it's okay. I don't regret the way I am. I am what I am.
Yes, good. We've got much more to talk about. That's why you are a powerful woman. How did you get to land in the private club business?
A part-time job. I always had a full-time job and a part-time restaurant job because that's the way I could afford to eat. I was asked by a friend to, hey, you should come to the Peninsular Club and work. And I was there for about 3 months, and they asked me if I wanted to be the dining room manager on the third floor. The third floor was an all-male, strictly male. The whole club was strictly male for membership, which I thought was odd even at the time. But
this is the 80s, correct?
This is the 70s.
The 70s.
Yeah, I started working there in 73, I think. Yeah. So I loved the weddings, and I just loved all the pomp and circumstance and the setting the tables perfectly and talking to these pillars of the community that were members, that everybody knew their names in the city. And I stayed there for about a year and a half. The only reason I left is I married, and then when I was pregnant enough and was feeling sick, I had to walk away.
Thank you for that admission.
The smell of coffee just disgusted me. So I was about 5 months pregnant. And and I always liked it, but I really wanted to be a gym teacher. I worked at Comstock Park for a while, but with special ed. But with having more and more children, and we moved out to Rockford, eventually I found myself at Blyfield Country Club. I wanted to be an event planner there, but they started me out as a wait person, and then I was a lead wait person, and then I was an event planner.
Pay your dues.
Yeah. I think the best managers in any business started from the bottom, in particular the restaurant business. Private clubs, though, I enjoyed most. I only worked at a couple of public restaurants. And to know the people that you're talking to and helping them with their events, their bar mitzvahs, their wedding receptions, it just makes you feel so good when everything works out perfectly.
True service. So bringing you back to the first woman general manager of a large private club in West Michigan, the University Club, how have you seen the transformation of bringing women into membership? What's that done for you personally and for the community?
Well, the University Club was the first club I worked where women were allowed to join. I was happily amazed at that, and there were even women on the board, which was unbelievable. We immediately, when they hired me in 1988, they never told me that they were going to give it 6 months and they were going to close the doors. They hired me in August, and by the end of December, they said it was the first profit they had in 6 years. I can just continue to build relationships. More women started to join. More women were on the board. As a matter of fact, I think we have more women on the board now than men, which is why I always say we have a good board. Because women will take on tasks and actually jump in and do them to the best of their ability, just as I did. I had to work twice as hard as a woman, especially in Dallas when I worked at Glen Eagles Country Club. I was the only woman manager there, and there was a lot of chauvinism going on. We'll just put it that way. What made me decide to leave mostly was the disparities in salaries, not so much for myself, but there were a lot of Hispanics working there, and they wanted me to pay them half of what white people were, and I just wouldn't do it. I didn't see why. They were great workers. So, and I'm still like that today. It's give everybody a chance. You're no different. I certainly wasn't born to wealth. I'm no different from any of them.
Did you pass that along to your grown children?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Who have worked in the business with
Who
you?
Have worked in the business. It was wonderful when my kids were of age to work. And I would tell, they'd say, well, I want this pair of blue jeans. It's only $80, Mom. And it's like, well, why don't you come to the club and we're going to see how much you have to work to get to $80. And it worked every time. Like, oh man, maybe I'll just get this $30 pair of blue jeans. And they went from there and worked their way up at the club. And they have fantastic work ethic from watching their mom work like a dog in some cases.
You admitted you like to work.
Yes. Any employee of theirs that has met me has given me kudos for my kids' work ethic. And I think they don't learn it in school. Parents need to teach that, just like manners. At St. James, in probably most parochial schools, they do teach you that. But employers are not going to. We as parents need to teach work ethic and not looking down at people and doing your very best.
Yet I'm sure your employees see your work ethic and hopefully hopefully we'll make that work in their lives. Let me have a little fun with you. You mentioned Dallas. What's your story with South Fork Ranch?
Oh, not much of a story other than the fact that I would drive by it every day going to work, and it was just, you know, a fascinating thing for me. Phil Donahue came to town and played, and was at the South Fork Ranch, and I was able to go to that. That was so cool. I was like in love with him. He was just before his time, right? So, yeah, they would film Dallas at the country club. It was brand new. It was the who's who of Dallas that belonged. It was definitely steps up from where I had worked before, even though the prior two clubs are exceptional. And they would come in on a lot of Sundays and off time and film because it was beautiful. It was a beautiful course, a beautiful, nothing like I'd ever been in before. Mm. I was promoted there a couple different times, which drew a jealousy from some of the male managers, and they would make comments. And back then, you just took them. You just had to. I would sometimes cry on my way home. I'd hold it. I'm not going to give them any chance to think I'm not strong. But yeah, Dallas was different. I was happy to go home, though. We were just there for 3 years.
Home in West Michigan.
Yes.
One more fact. I understand you can throw a mean football.
Heck yeah. I think I still can.
Reach on the field.
All my grandchildren and my kids were athletic too, but yeah. Good.
And lastly, there must be some balance. You married early. You made a successful career happen along the way. What's your secret to that success?
I guess it's not a secret. It's more you need to speak up. You don't just continue to work and come home and work. If you don't have a willing partner or teach your kids how to clean and how to take care of themselves, you're going to have trouble succeeding. I never intended to work like I have. I just thought I was going to have six kids and stay home and flip houses. But you have a strong side and a womanly side, I suppose, and you need to know how to act, I guess, to not take advantage of the fact that you're a woman, but also you don't need to manage like a man. Somebody asked me one time, it was actually a women's group, said, what do you call your style of management? And I said, you know, I used to think I managed like a mom, but I've been doing this for so long that I think some of the staff probably think I manage like a mother. You can delete that.
We're going to keep it in. Well, we know that you are obviously a stellar manager because we know that you failed retirement, and we'll just leave it at that. But what's your message to, the woman who does look up to you and want to be where you are? What's your piece of advice?
Don't overdo yourself. Ask a lot of questions. Ask for help when you need it. Find a good model and model yourself after that. Be kind to people. Be strong when you're reprimanding, but be kind. Compliment. I am a team player. I've always been a team player. Sometimes people will say, my staff will say, you yelled at me. And it's, think of me as a coach. I'm just correcting you so that you can become a better team player. Do what you can do whenever you can do it. Follow your dreams the best you can, but just know that it's never going to be a Cinderella story in the end.
Ooh, bet you've ended many conversations with that. Well, I know you, back to where you mentioned you want to be a gym teacher. Hey, you're coaching all the time, just
exactly.
In different fields.
Exactly.
Cindy Paul, thank you very much for your leadership. Again, the first woman general manager of a large private club, the University Club of Grand Rapids. Thank you for your conversation today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.